to bend with apples the moss cottage trees and fill all fruit with ripeness to the core, to swell the gourd and plump the hazel shells with a sweet kernel. That's part of Keats' sonnet to autumn, to the beauty of autumn, and this is a special kind of beauty. And of all the holidays, Sukkot is the one most concerned with beauty, which is nice after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which had so much solemnity. Sukkot is beautiful. Even walking around with the yellow and the green and the contrast, it's beautiful. And in fact, that's exactly what the Bible says. It should be the Lakachtem Lachem B'yom HaRishon Pri Eitz Hadar, the fruit of the Hadar. And what's the Hadar? The Etrog. The name Hadar, the word Hadar, is like Hidur, which means to beautify. And that's where you get the long tradition of you gotta have a beautiful Etrog. No one wants an ugly Etrog. And everybody looks to see the proportions, the smell, in other words, the sense of it, whether it's beautiful. There is a famous story by Agnon that is known to all readers of Hebrew literature, that is told in different ways, about a man who basically sacrifices everything he has to get the perfect etrog, and when he gets it, he drops it and it breaks the pitom, and it's now unusable. And that idea is about this notion that the etrog must be beautiful, but it also shows the perils of beauty. And in order to illustrate that, let me read you from the Mishnah, which talks about what kind of lulav you are allowed to have. Lulav hagazul v'hayafesh pasul. If you have a stolen lulav, I am just saying, when Norm Pell said, would you ask everybody to give their lulavs back, I said, don't worry, I have it right in the sermon. If you have a stolen lulav, it's no good, it's pasul. But also, and curiously, if you have a dry lulav, it's pasul. And that's why, as I mentioned a little while ago, actually, at the book lecture, it was the tradition in my family and in many families that I knew to take the lulav, to take the branches of the lulav, to wrap them in wet paper towels and to put them in the refrigerator so they would stay moist. So they would not become yavesh, dry, because then it's no good. Now, why can't you have a dry lulav? I mean, it fulfills the mitzvah. A lulav is a lulav is a lulav, so to speak. So here is Rashi's comment on that. By the way, let me read you Rashi's previous comment, why you can't have a lulav that is stolen, in case you were wondering. His comment is, Pasul v'lakachtem lachem k'tiv. And it says, you shall take for yourself a lulav. A lulav that's stolen isn't yours, and therefore it doesn't count. It's got to be yours. So when Rabbi Schoenfrei went around and gave each of you a lulav to say the blessing with, he was, according to Jewish law, giving it to you. It was then yours. You could have taken it home, and nobody, according to Jewish law, could have objected. And when you gave it back, you were giving it to him. The same thing with the lulavim up here. Yavesh. Why can't you have a dry one? The ve'ina mitzvah mahadurat dichtiv ve'anvehu. Mehuberet v'dichtiv ve'anvehu. Because the mitzvah is that it should be hidur, it should be beautiful, as it is written, ve'anvehu, and I will glorify him. And that is a verse from when the Israelites crossed the Red Sea. They say, Ze Eli v'anvehu, this is my God, and I will glorify him. We repeat this every morning in the Shirat Hayam. This is God and I'll glorify Him. And that idea, that I'll glorify God, means, in Jewish tradition, that I'll glorify Him with what? With beautiful mitzvot. I'm going to glorify Him by making my mezuzah beautiful, by making my lulav moist, by making my etrog gorgeous. All these things are done for hidur mitzvah, to try to make the mitzvah more beautiful. So far, so good. The problem is that in the Talmud, that verse is used for something else. Abba Shaul says, Ze Eli, this is my God, Ve'anvehu, and I will glorify Him, should really be read, Ani Vehu, which means I and He. And he says what the verse means is everything God does, we should try to do. God's compassionate, we should be compassionate. God is long-suffering, we should be long-suffering. God is good, we should try to be good. And the verse is not about making nice mezuzahs, it's about ethical behavior. Not only ethical behavior, but ethical behavior that imitates God. And now we understand the conflict at the heart of Adnon's story. He spent all his money on a beautiful etrog and neglected his family. So he was fulfilling the first interpretation of Ze'eli Va'anvehu, but not the second, which is, I should act godlike. That is, I should try to imitate the way God is in the world. I should be good. And I think that's probably why we have the custom of ushpizin. Ushpizin means guests in Aramaic. And you know, each night you're supposed to invite a different Jewish ancestor into your sukkah. The first night is Abraham, who's the first Jewish ancestor. Or these days, Abraham and Sarah, which is an even more beautiful custom. You invite them into your sukkah because what really makes a sukkah beautiful is the attitude of the people inside it. And here is, I think, the reconciliation, that you don't only want the outward ritual object to be beautiful, but you want the behavior of the person who uses it and what it stands for to be beautiful. Because beauty in all its forms is a tribute to God. If God made the world and the world is beautiful, it's because God wished the world to be beautiful. There is even a wonderful passage in the Midrash Socher Tov, which is the Midrash on Psalms. And it says, why is it that a parent loves a child no matter how they look? Nobody gives birth to a child and says, well, it's not such a cute baby. I don't really think I like this one. And the answer is, when God gave birth to the world, He saw that it was very good. In other words, that which you create, that which you give birth to, that which you're invested in, automatically becomes beautiful. It doesn't matter if your children decorate your sukkah and they do it in garish colors. It's beautiful because the intention overrides the appearance. If, like every parent in the world, you put your children or grandchildren's drawings up on the refrigerator or on the door, is it because your child is Rembrandt? Probably not. It's because they're beautiful. They were drawn by someone you love. And so Sukkot is a holiday in which we understand that beauty and beauty, that is, the beauty of aesthetics and the beauty of goodness, are really one. And Ze'eli Ve'anvehu, this is my God, and I will glorify God, is about having a beautiful lulav because you love the holiday, having a wonderful etrog because you want to give honor to God. And that's why on Sukkot we have this idea in the Jewish tradition that it's Zman Simchatenu, because we are joyous in the celebration of the beauty of the holiday and the beauty of our people, which feels as though that which is inside of us that I spoke about earlier can be externalized and brought into the world. On God's beautiful earth, we are granted this brief stay to make everything, including our souls, more beautiful. Chag Sameach.